are going to be spending time this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, so go ahead and find that, if you will. As was mentioned a moment ago, we have some people out. We have about 75 people out this morning. Our students are in Guatemala. Got some great text messages this morning and photos from Matt Downing. Where they're staying is a beautiful, beautiful place. So there's 35 or 40 of them. Then our children, our preteens, are out at camp this morning. Don't know how many of those there are, 35, 40, 45 of those. Plus, this morning is our new member orientation class. There are 14 of them. So all of those are out today, but they're with us in spirit, and they will be counted. They will be counted. Now, for those of you who are guests with us, this is our third Sunday in our new schedule. And I just want to tell you something. From my point of view, and I walk around and try to get everywhere. I can't get over to the far campuses over there. Looks to me like everything's going fine. How about it? Is it going good? Everything's going great. I mean, we're in the middle of the summer slump, and yet there's a host of us here this morning. So way to go. Good job. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's read this passage to begin with, and then we'll build on it the rest of the morning. Finally, pray for us, brothers, that the Lord's message may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord about you, and you're doing and will do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's endurance. Well, this morning is going to be our final sermon in the series on truth. We've spent a couple of months there, and God has blessed our time in that series. We're going to focus just on verse 3 here this morning and give attention to true calm. We live in a chaotic world. Have you noticed that? We live in a chaotic world where things are just upside down all the time, almost everywhere we look. Turning the television is no help either. So chaos is all around us. We are going to focus this morning on kind of the remedy for that. Those of us who follow Jesus can experience true calm in the midst of life's chaos. Now, I shared this with our Wednesday evening group a few weeks ago, so for them, they've already heard this. I live a few blocks from here on the other side of the traffic light back in that neighborhood over there. When I say the traffic light, I'm talking about the one here on the corner of Pecan and 10th Street. So no matter where I go, even coming to work, I have to come through this traffic light. So a few weeks ago, I was sitting there at the traffic light on my way to work, and I was noticing a couple of things. One thing I noticed was the stampede of traffic going through that intersection. I mean, Pflugerville was going to work, and I mean, there were a bunch of people going through that intersection. So I was impressed with that, first of all, just this parade, the stampede of people. But the other thing I noticed was sitting on those lines, I hate to call them wires because they're larger than that, those wires that hold up the traffic lights and everything else, sitting on that wire was a bird. One of these crackles, I guess, is that what they're called? Female, I believe. So she's sitting, well, you can tell by the color. I'm not a physician by any means, but so she's sitting on this wire with this stampede of traffic going right beneath her. I mean, one of them was an 18-wheeler. It could have been more than 18 inches, 2 feet below her, zipping past. Do you know what this bird was doing? She was cleaning her feathers. She had her wing up like this and her head completely underneath her wing, straightening out the feathers and making sure they were clean for the day. And then she stopped and she ruffled all of her feathers. And then she did the same thing on the other side, you know, with her wing above her head. She's cleaning all these feathers, straightening them out. And I'm thinking, would you look at that bird? She's not concerned at all about all this traffic going beneath her. I mean, I was really impressed with this bird's calm, totally calm. She knew something, though. You know what she knew? She can fly. She wasn't concerned about all that thunder going on beneath her because she can fly. Now, I wonder, we live in a chaotic world, the chaos going on all around us all the time also. I wonder, here's the question, do we know anything that will give us calm in the midst of all the thunderous stampede of chaos going on around us? We should know something. We should know Jesus. We should know that Jesus, in the midst of all the craziness, is going to give us calm. Now, the chaos isn't going to go away. You realize this? The chaos and the thunder and the craziness of life is not going to go away. So if we want calm in the midst of the chaos, we can't be waiting for the chaos to stop. If we want calm in the midst of the chaos, it has to be from Jesus. It has to be from Jesus. Now, as I read that passage, you probably recognized that calm, the word, is never directly mentioned there in the passage. But it most certainly details the truths that result in great calm. It details the attitude, the spirit, the personality, the character that results in great calm. As we understand these truths, as we internalize these truths, the result in each of our lives will be calm. True calm. Real calm. So let's look at these this morning. Let's begin here. The Lord is faithful to you. I want to point out a few things about the Lord's faithfulness. First, Jesus excels in faithfulness. In order to appreciate the significance of what Paul is saying here, we need to kind of connect verse 2 and verse 3. He says, and the subject here is prayer, he says, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. So Paul is struck with this characteristic of the Lord that stands in contrast to people. Stands in contrast to everyone else. We can't put much faith in people because people have so often disappointed us. But we can put faith in God. We can put faith in Jesus because he's not going to disappoint us. He's never going to disappoint us. We can't depend much on people because people are not very dependable. But we can depend on the Lord because the Lord is always dependable. We can't put much confidence in people because people are not consistent. But listen, we can put confidence in the Lord because the Lord is always consistent. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. No matter how perverse people are, Jesus is always going to be faithful because that's who he is. He can't betray himself. He can't violate his own character, his own person. That's great news. Here's another thing as we were thinking about how the Lord is faithful to us. Jesus is extreme in faithfulness. Still looking here at verse 3. It's not obvious in the English translations, but Paul has inserted the little verb is there where he says the Lord is faithful. Now you might not know this, but in Greek, is is very rarely inserted because it's assumed. If you think about it, we don't need to use it either. It's assumed. Very rarely is it ever inserted. But Paul has supplied it here for emphasis. He's saying Jesus is really faithful. Jesus is extreme in his faithfulness. And then the last thing, third thing here, is we're thinking about Jesus being faithful. Jesus is the definition of faithfulness. Again, it can't be seen in English translations, but in the original language, verse 3 begins with the word faithful. It reads, "Faithful is the Lord." And that's also meaningful. Paul arranged it that way because the most important thing he's saying here is faithful. Faithful is the Lord. I mean, that reads just like a dictionary, doesn't it? If you look up a word in the dictionary, you find the word first and then the definition. Paul's saying faithful, the definition of faithful, is the Lord. He defines faithfulness. Remember this morning we're talking about true calm, and we're saying that in the midst of life's chaos, we can live a life of calm because the Lord is faithful. He's always going to be there for us. We can always depend upon him. I took Linda out to eat one night recently at Cracker Barrel. I hesitate to tell you where we eat because you'll stampede over there. Isn't Cracker Barrel a cool place to eat? I mean, you know, you turn in your name and what? Yeah, I know you ladies are going. You turn in your name while you're waiting to eat, you have all those things to look at. They used to sell Dr. Pepper in a bottle. You can buy one there. All those candies you can buy. Of course, Linda's over there looking at the dresses and stuff. So we're looking around the shop waiting for our name to be called. And I noticed this massive young dad. He must have been 6'4". Just a huge young man. And he's got his little daughter with him. The daughter is newborn. And he's carrying this newborn daughter around in one of those, I don't know what you call them. It's a bag that fits around the neck, like a man bag, you know. And the baby sits inside that, you know. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I know it was a girl because her little tiny legs were sticking out. And she had on pink socks and pink shoes, you know, so I know it was a little girl. So he's got her in this bag around his chest, and he's got his hand around the back of her neck, and he's looking around. To him, this baby weighed nothing. She was laying against his chest so she could hear his heartbeat. She could feel his warmth. This little girl had nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Someday she may be president of the United States. Someday she may be a great educator. She may win the Pulitzer Prize. You know, someday she may be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Not now. Now she's got nothing. And she needs somebody to take care of her. She needs somebody to carry her. She needs somebody to be there for her and to be faithful. And I want to tell you something, a wild lion couldn't have taken that baby away from that dad. He was faithful. Jesus to you is faithful. You may be somebody great, he doesn't care. In the eyes of men, you may be somebody. He doesn't care because you need somebody faithful, and Jesus for you is always faithful, always there for you. You can hear his heartbeat. You can feel his warmth. Jesus is always going to be there for you. You can have calm in the midst of the chaos because Jesus is always for you faithful. faithful. There's another thing Paul talks about here, and that is the Lord will strengthen you. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, he will strengthen you. This word translated strength can also be translated support, and oftentimes it is. He strengthens you by supporting you. When we first moved into our house, I think I shared this with you a long time ago, but you've forgotten. When we first moved into our house, because we've been there now for 25 years, we were trying to plant things, you know, and put up some shrubbery and things around our house. And so in the front yard, I planted a bur oak tree because it's native and they're supposed to be strong in this area. But when I first put this bur oak tree in the ground, it wasn't strong. I mean, it bent under its own weight. It had like 8 or 10 leaves on the top, and those leaves weighed this bur oak down where it was like this. And the first wind that came along blew this thing over. I went out and it was laying on the ground. So you know what I did? I got one of these big engineer stakes. I guess it's 7 or 8 feet tall, and I drove it into the ground next to this little bur oak tree, and I tied it to this support. That's what it was. It was support. Straightened it out. Let the wind blow. It's going to be okay. Put out leaves and acorns. It's okay. It was supported. I left that tree tied to that long engineer stake for 8 years. 8 years. Did it need the support all that time? I think it did. It looked wimpy to me for 8 years. Now, you can drive by my house now, and that bur oak is 40 feet tall. It shades our entire yard. Our house is at the entrance to our subdivision. It welcomes everybody home in the evening. It sits on the corner of my lot. It welcomes everybody home in the evening. 40 feet tall, leaves as big as my foot. Massive bur oak tree, but it had to have support. Paul says, you can have calm in your life because Jesus will be your support. How long? Long as you need it. I'm afraid Jesus looks at many of us, and I'm one, and Jesus said, boy, he is wimpy. I'm going to be his support a long time. You know, there are telltale signs that a person is going through a season in life where they're weak and malformed and crooked and bent. That may describe you this morning. I've been doing what I do for a lot of years. Let me just share with you some of my observations. If a person is going through a difficult season in life where they're crumbling under their own weight, where the winds of life are blowing them down, where they can't stand up on their own, their spirit begins to harden. That's what I've noticed. Their heart begins to cool off and turn cold. They begin to become withdrawn, fragile, uncharacteristically quiet. Very often their habits change. They lose their self-discipline. They let themselves go. Nothing much matters to them anymore. Any of those sound familiar to you? Are you experiencing any of those things in your life right now? Those are the signs of a person who needs the strength and the support of the Lord. Those are the characteristics of a person who's going through one of these weakened times in life. Another way Jesus strengthens us is he strengthens you by stabilizing you. I was visiting a man, it's been quite some time ago, so you wouldn't know who I'm talking about. I visited a man whose home Someone told me he was going through some difficult times in his life. I visited him in his home, hadn't seen him in church for a while. And when we got there, he said, "Pastor, can you come with me?" And he'd taken one of the bedrooms in his house and he converted it into an office or a study. So we went back there into this room. He closed the door and we sat there knee to knee. I said, "Friend, what's going on?" And he leaned forward and he put his face in his hands and he began to weep. And he said, "Pastor, I lost my job. And so I started my own business. And I was no good at managing my own business, and so that faltered. That failed. Couldn't feed my family. And during that year, year and a half, when I was trying to start my own business, I wasn't paying my income taxes, so now the IRS is after me, and they're telling me that I owe them thousands and thousands of dollars." And he said, "I've come to the end of myself. I just can't seem to catch a break. I just can't seem to get my footing in life. And Pastor, what am I supposed to do? My family's depending on me." And I just hugged him and we prayed together. You know, the passage came to my mind that I shared with him that day? Psalm chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay." Listen to this. "He set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure." That's what that man needed. And you know, it wasn't very long until I got a call from him. He said, "Pastor, I'll tell you something. God's got a hold of my life and things are beginning to click and things are beginning to work and God's lifting me up and I'm just praising him and I'm honoring him and I want to do something to help the church." You know, and we got him all involved in serving the church. He went from the muddy pit to the mountain peak because God got into his life and stabilized him. You ever experienced anything like that? We can have calm. Those of us who follow the Lord, we can have calm in the midst of life's chaos because Jesus is always faithful. And he'll strengthen us. Here's one other thing. You can live a life of calm because the Lord will protect you. Verse 3 again, "The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one." Now, I want to go back for just a moment and focus on the word Lord, Greek kurios. Something you would notice without reading this whole letter to the Thessalonians is Paul's frequent use of the word Lord. Scholars believe that Paul is emphasizing Jesus' lordship over all the evil forces in the world. Jesus has power over all the evil forces in this world. Notice also the word evil. It's not just a reference to evil, but to the evil one. His name is Satan. This is one of the realities of trusting and following Jesus, and that is that we have engaged in conflict with a terrible enemy, and his name is Satan. We're no match for him. This would be a frightening realization were it not for the protection of our shepherd, were it not for the protection of our Savior, were it not for the protection of our Lord. His name is Jesus. Jesus has power over the evil one in this world. Back on January the 8th, 2011, outside of a grocery store in Tucson, Arizona, Jared Loughner opened fire with an automatic weapon, killing 6 people and injuring 13 others. Duran Stoddard, his nickname is Dory, retired construction worker, was among the 6 people who was killed When Dory saw what was happening, he instantly took hold of his wife, Mavie, spun her around behind him, placing himself between her and Loeffner, shielding her with his own body, taking the shots that Loeffner had intended for Mavie. He died protecting his wife. At his memorial service, his son said, "Guys like my dad are rare." Indeed, they are rare. That's a big love. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 10, beginning of verse 11. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf, in this case, Satan, the wolf then snatches and scatters them. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, where there may not be many other guys like Dory, there are no other saviors like Jesus. Jesus stepped between us and sin. Jesus stepped between us and Satan. Jesus died taking the death intended for us, intended for me, intended for you. Satan may still threaten. He may still rattle his saber. Satan may still attack. He may still fire his arrows. But Satan can no longer hurt you. You have a protector. His name's Jesus. Jesus has spun you around. He's taken his position between you and sin. He has spun you around. He's taken position between you and Satan. The arrows are still coming. The shots are still coming, but they're not going to get to you because Jesus stepped in the way. He steps in the way yet today. You need a protector. You can't handle Satan by yourself, friend. You can't do that. You say, "I can do that." No, you can't. He's been around a long, long time. You've been around a matter of years. He's way smarter. He's way stronger. You're just a lamb. You're a small little lamb. You're no bigger than a cat. Satan is a wolf. Satan's a lion. You need a protector. You need protection. Jesus is your protector. Jesus steps between you and Satan, and Jesus protects you. How can you be calm in the midst of all the world throws out to you? It's a problem. It's a problem. How can you be calm with the thunder of chaos going all around you? What are you going to do? You have a protector. His name is Jesus. Those of us who follow the Lord can have calm in the midst of chaos because Jesus is faithful. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our protector. Here comes the question. Are you calm? Chaos is raining down on you. Finances, broken hearts, failing health, failing family issues. Never going to stop. You can have calm in the midst of the chaos if you'll just call on Jesus. Pray with me.